The Lord be with you. I'm certainly proud of you and our leaders and servants who gave so much of their time and energy to this last week. Monday night was an amazing night. I don't know if we've talked about that yet, but there were 220 people here, 95% not from our church, and I ate with a Lebanese mother and her adult son and another older gentleman from a similar ethnicity as myself, and lo and behold, he's in church today worshiping, and that's just so wonderful. It often starts at another table before it ends up at this table. And that's been our calling. It's been our vision. Invite people to the table of Alpha. Invite them to Monday night. Invite them to your home. And eventually, they will come and participate at this table. This last week, my son Charlie, who's a public school teacher in the Surrey District, one of his 13-year-olds in his class lost his mother. She died suddenly of a heart attack. The father who is left is completely beside himself. They're low income. His three children are all indigenous kids, and they're all fetal alcohol syndrome. Three fetal alcohol teenagers, one in my son's class. Charlie said, they have nothing for Christmas. I said, no problem. We have a hamper program. So we actually gave away 401 hampers. Because on Thursday, I went during the power outage, and Bill was in the dark packing boxes, and I banged on the door, and he came, and there were four huge boxes for this family, and I delivered them with Myrna to the school. The principal welcomed us, and these are the kinds of things that are done in Jesus' name by people like you. Myrna and I... By the way, my sermon is short this week, so you're looking at the time and you're going, I don't think we're going to get Bueller in here today. Don't worry. It's only a meditation. We had a hot dog beside a young mom, and she didn't look like the typical person whom you might expect to come get a hamper. And I said, is this hard for you to be here today? She said, yes. Told us the story. Her husband left her this year with two kids, an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. I said, is this the first time you've picked up a hamper? Yes. Are you embarrassed? Yes. I said, you don't have to be. And Myrna and I were able to come alongside her. And as it worked out, Myrna was the one that walked her through the store and got all the stuff. You know, I was just thinking, this is what the church does. This is beautiful. And many of you had so many experiences that you could share like that. So my heart's full. Now, here's the message. Best news ever. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 11, 10, and 11. Luke 2, 10, and 11, the announcement of the angel to the shepherds. Just over 2,000 years ago now, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and suddenly everything changed for the shepherds. Everything. For the shepherds were the very unlikely people whom God chose to be the recipients of the best news that humanity had ever heard. And that's what I want us to focus in on today, this best news and how it might relate to our life today. One of God's angelic messengers appeared before the shepherds in a cloud of glorious light that Bill just prayed about. And the text tells us that the glory of the Lord shone around them. So have you thought about that lately? It wasn't the glory of the angel, it was the glory of the Lord himself that accompanied the angel, and the shepherds found themselves completely encompassed or surrounded by the glory of the Lord. So what the angel said was difficult enough for them to handle, let alone this glory that had been prophesied 500 years earlier through the prophet Isaiah. If you'll remember last year at this time when the choir came and they sang little pieces of Handel's Messiah, the very first song that they sung went like this: "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." One of Isaiah's prophecies pointing to the birth of Christ. Well, the shepherds were the first flesh to witness the glory that accompanied the incarnation where God became a man. And naturally, it terrified them. And what happened next can only be described as the greatest announcement ever made to the greatest number of people with the most far-reaching consequences. Simply put, what the angel said to the shepherds was the best news that humanity has ever heard. Now, some of you should be thinking, I think there was one other message that an angel gave that's better news than this. And if you're thinking about the news that the angel made standing at the mouth of the empty tomb, when the women came to anoint the body of Jesus and the angel announced, "Why do you stand here looking for the living among the dead? Behold, he is not here, he is risen." Some of you might think that is better news than this. And I would agree with you. So therefore, this is the best news ever up until this particular time in history. So what is that news? Probably a lot of you could say this by memory because you have heard it so many times. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ the Lord." So that phrase given by the angel to the shepherds is just so pregnant with Christmas glory, and I want us just to dive into it for a few minutes this morning. Why is it the best news ever? Well, first of all, it's the best news because the subject of the announcement, Jesus, is the soul's best medicine. And what the angel says is, "Fear not." The first thing that comes out of his mouth, "Do not be afraid." And then he speaks not only to our fears, but he reminds us that the source of our greatest joy is also going to be found in Jesus. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy," he said. Phillips Brooks, the pastor that wrote that famous carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," put it right when he said, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." So perfect love in the person of Jesus had arrived in the village of Bethlehem, and perfect love casts out all fear. So the angel begins, "Fear not, do not be afraid." And the message is the best news ever, not only because of that, but because it's for all the people, it says. The angel brought the news to the shepherds, but the message could not stay with the shepherds. And so after they saw Jesus and worshiped him, they went running off to tell their friends and their family. It's a universal message. It's for Jews and Palestinians. Or as we used to sing as kids, and we don't sing it anymore because it's not politically correct. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Yes. It's for all the people. Jesus was born for all the people. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." Jesus was born not only for the people that were living when he was there, but he was born for people who were born thousands of years before him. Jesus was born for Adam and for Eve and for Cain and Abel. Jesus was born for people who would be born thousands of years after him. Listen, beloved, do you know that Jesus was born and he lived and died for those people like us who would be fortunate enough to hear about him? But he was also born and died for people who have never been fortunate enough to hear the message of Jesus. John put it this way: Jesus is the light that lights the life of every man and every woman. There's some great mystery here on who gets in and who doesn't get in and how much of our life is lit up. But for sure, the shepherd should go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. It's the best news ever. It's for all people of all time. Someday every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And it's the best news ever because this news happens to be anchored in time and space. The next phrase, for today, in the city of David. So in other words, this fulfilled promise is right now and it's right here. You shepherds don't have to wait another second, and you don't have to travel a great distance to see this person who has been born, for God has come to you. Emmanuel is here, and you're going to find him. You're going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Today, in the city of David, or like the writer to the Hebrews put it, today is the day of salvation. And it's the best news ever because it's a birth announcement. And what news rivals a birth announcement? For today in the city of David, there has been born. Now, I wonder if the shepherds, they didn't know who this baby was yet because the angel reserved telling them who it was until the very end of the announcement. I wonder if when the angel said, there's a special baby that's been born, they thought about Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Is this baby that we're hearing about now, is he the one who's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Well, 3 weeks ago, on the Feast of St. Nicholas of all days, our family received news of a birth announcement. Baby Heidi Myrna Viewager safely arrived. And we were able to announce that a couple of weeks ago. And before then, before the baby came, nothing but anxious waiting. It's terrible. It's terrible being a family member waiting for the lady in waiting to finally give birth, because there's so much that can go wrong. And we, of course, hope and pray like all of us do when our loved ones are pregnant. We just pray that everything will go well. And some of you would ask me in church, how are you doing? How's Annie? Has she had her baby yet? No, she hasn't. And then some of you would try to help me by saying, well, you know, the baby will come when the baby's ready to come. And, you know, that's actually true, but it's just not very helpful. In fact, Myrna said that to me a few times. I know, honey, the baby's going to come when the baby's ready to come. When is this baby going to come? And then, of course, the contractions got closer together, 5 minutes apart, and we thought, is this a false alarm or is the baby going to come? And we went to bed on the 5th with Myrna's cell phone beside her head, battery fully charged. And, of course, the phone rang, and it was Spencer. And the news was oh so good and such a beautiful, deep relief that Heidi had arrived and that Annie was doing well. Now, one grandpa's little story about his own baby and the other billions of people in the world could care less about my story because they don't know us. However, think about the gravity of this particular birth, the birth of Jesus, and the deep relief for the human race. The Bible writer says, in the fullness of time, but until then, the human race had to wait for her Savior. Its Redeemer had just been born, and I love what the angel says to the shepherds. Today in the city of David, there has been born to you. That's why it's the best news ever. This baby is not just for his mother or his stepfather or his brothers or sisters. This baby is for you guys. It's your baby. This is humanity's baby. For the Word has just become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who was in the bosom of his Father, he has explained him. I'm sure the shepherds were wondering what made this particular baby and this particular birth such good news that it warranted an angel. Who exactly is the baby? And imagine what must have been running through their heads up until this point, because as I just said, the angel reserved telling them who it was until the last five words of the entire message. So they're going, something great is happening and we're not supposed to be afraid and it's going to give us great joy. And there's a baby that's been born and the baby's for us and he's born here in the city of David and he's been born right now. And they're going, who is this baby that warranted you telling us? And I'm sure that the shepherds, they're good Jewish boys, Jewish men, Jewish girls. I'm sure they asked themselves, is it a prophet? For we haven't had a prophet in 400 years. The angel has come to tell us that a prophet has come. Yes, guys, he is a prophet. And he will speak prophetically like no man or woman has ever spoken. In fact, he will be called the Word of God. But he's so much more than a prophet. Well, then he must be a priest. Yes. As a matter of fact, he is. He's called the Great High Priest. And he will mediate between a holy God and sinful humanity. And he will bring the two together in a way that no other priest has ever succeeded. But he's way more than a priest. Well, if he's more than a prophet and he's more than a priest, then the only thing left is he must be a king and he's going to rule and reign and govern over us. Yes, as a matter of fact, he is a king. He's the king of all kings. And he's going to sit and rule from the throne of his father, David, and his kingdom will know no end and his glory will know no bounds. But you've got to know that he is actually more than a king. Well, if he's more than a prophet and more than a priest and he's more than a king, then what would warrant your visit to us telling me of this baby? And the word that the angel uses to describe Jesus is he is a savior. Born to you today in the city of David is a savior. And I'm sure that what came into the minds of these Jewish shepherds was a savior. Yes, like Moses. Yes, he's actually a lot like Moses. But he's actually going to succeed where Moses failed. He's going to lead his people to the promised land. Oh, then he is a savior like Joshua. Yes, he's a lot like Joshua. In fact, he's named after Joshua. However, though Joshua got the people to the promised land, the writer to the book of Hebrews says that where Joshua failed is that he could not give people rest in their souls. But this savior could. Well, then he for certain is a savior like David. Yes, as a matter of fact, he's a lot like David. He comes from the family tree of David. But unlike David, this Savior will die and make atonement for David's sins and the sins of the whole world. For you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, you shepherds, this baby will not only rescue you from the hand of your enemies, but he will rescue you from yourselves. When the shepherds heard that the baby was a savior, it was good news, but it wasn't the best news ever. And the reason is that Israel had many saviors sent to them already. In fact, read the book of Judges. It's one savior that arrives after another, and they have a little bit of success, and they have a lot of failure. But this savior was different. For unto you has been born today in the city of David a savior. He is Christ. This Savior alone qualifies as the Messiah, as the anointed one. He alone is God's suffering servant. He alone will qualify as the spotless Lamb of God who would come to take away the sin of the world. This baby is the Savior. He is the Christ. And finally, it's the best news ever, because this baby is the Lord. He is the eternal, omnipotent creator of the universe. He is God in human flesh, mystery of mysteries. He is Jehovah incarnate. He is God with us. He is Christ the Lord. And this is why Jesus, through his teaching ministry, was constantly saying things that shocked the Jewish people. He would say things like, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Or, "I and my Father are one." Or, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Jesus made claims to deity constantly, talking about why he could be worshiped as God. In fact, when Thomas, the one that doubted and had a difficult time with faith, was confronted by the risen Jesus, remember what he did? He fell down at his feet and he worshiped Jesus, exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." This is the best news ever. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord." And there's something that we learn about whenever the best news ever is communicated to the human race. It demands the biggest response ever. And so I'm wondering this morning if there's someone here who has not yet responded to Jesus with a heart of gratitude and humility in faith and repentance. Have you decided to let this Lord be the Lord and Master of your own life? Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door of your life and knock. If any man or woman opens the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them and them with me." John put it this way, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of man or the will of a father, but born of God." Paul put it this way, "For if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And Peter, on the day the Holy Spirit came to the world, said this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." So here's the question. Do you sense right now the Lord calling you to himself? You'll know it because the red light of your conscience will be flashing and you will have the sense that this simple gospel message has just brought you to the brink of a decision and that you are the only one who can make that decision. And so I encourage you, I plead with you to open your heart and to invite the Lord Jesus to be your own personal Lord and Savior. So that's it. But one last thought. If this is humanity's best news ever, what is heaven's best news ever? Any thoughts about that? Heaven's best news ever is actually different than humanity's best news ever. Humanity's best news ever is that God loved us so much that he sent somebody to rescue us. But heaven's best news, the thing that causes heaven to rejoice, is if one of the little lambs that Jesus was sent to rescue allows itself to be rescued. The lost coin is found. The lost son has come home. The lost sheep has been rescued. So today, this could be the best news ever for you, and today could be the best news ever for God if you surrender your life to Jesus and make a decision to be baptized this Easter in 2019. Amen.